Morning, Pastor Tim Turner from Christ Community Church there in West Paducah. Pastor Tim, how are you doing, sir?
Good morning. We're doing well. How are you today?
We are doing great. And I got Miss Hannah in the room, too, so you may hear her voice a little bit, too, Pastor Tim. But thank you so much for coming in with us. April the 2nd, you all had a devastating event happen there. You just remodeled a gym into a sanctuary, and a tornado did not pay you all a good visit.
You're right. We had moved over into the gym during COVID. We grew, our church grew, and we outgrew our old sanctuary. So we moved over into the gym, and we spent 5 years remodeling that. And, Pastor, it's funny, but now I look back on it. On Monday, I had talked to some people, and I said, we can now slow down. We finally have it beautiful. And on Wednesday, it was gone.
Wow.
So quite a unique situation.
Yeah. Now, you all, now tell us how this happened, because I know that really you all would be in the service usually, or at least some people lingering around when this tornado would hit. But you had, you really felt led not to have service that night.
We had watched all the radio models and how that they had talked about. At one time, one station said Paducah was going to get hit harder than any other area in the United States. So CNN was here, the Weather Channel was here, NBC was here, a bunch of people were here. And we just thought, you know, I now look back on it and know it was an act of God. But I didn't realize this, Pastor Aaron, until a CNN reporter asked me, do you commonly cancel services during like spring, summer, and fall? And I said, I hadn't even thought about it. I said, no, we actually haven't. We cancel in the winter due to ice and snow, but we had never canceled a spring or summer event, a church service. And in my 35 years, I shared this with several outlets, but in 35 years, we had never canceled one due to a storm. And it hit about 8:20 that night, and we normally get out of service a little after 8, and then as church people do, we linger. And there would have been several people still at the church. Matter of fact, this past Wednesday night, my wife, when we left the church, my wife looked at me and said, look what time it is, and it was 8:35, and we were just now leaving the church. And so we know that there would have been people there, and Brother Aaron, I have said this, people who have been on our property, the Weather Channel agreed with me, everybody agreed, nobody would have survived that. It's 18-foot walls, and they all came in, and it wouldn't have been survivable. So we just believe it was a God thing that we didn't have service, and we're just praising God no one is hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. And I know one thing I've loved to see, and I've been tracking along on your Facebook and just kind of keeping up to date what's going on. I know you all went into the old sanctuary, prepared that for the service, but to see the amount, and I've seen your posts and everything, to see the amount the community has rallied around you all has been pretty inspiring.
It's really overwhelming. I think in a crisis, you really understand the love of God. Probably more than any other situation. I have literally gotten calls from California to New York and everybody in between. I got a call from Mexico. I got a call from the Canadian border. I got a message from Nigeria. I've got messages from Mexico or from Africa, different parts of Africa. And it's just overwhelming at the love and the calls we're getting. And I got to give you a quick praise report. We're not only getting calls of people praying for us. We have one of the ladies in our church alluded to the fact that we have had a dozen people in our church heal from cancer. And this morning, just before I talked to you, a lady from Fort Wayne, Indiana called me, and her sister is dying with cancer. And so she called with a prayer request. So we're getting calls. I believe all this, every bit of it, is glorifying God. It's just been tremendous.
Amen. Look what the Lord does, huh? That old song,
right.
Look what the Lord can. Yeah.
Yes.
They don't let me sing here, Pastor Tim. They don't let me sing. They hush me up pretty quick.
I can't sing in my church either. so I understand.
But you sure can play the instruments. And I love to see just out just the messages that's being portrayed, because I think sometimes society tells us when difficulty and adversity happens, we should be more Elijah type, go into the cave and kind of mourn about it and go through this season of processing and unpacking. And of course, there are some aspects of that. But really, you all have led from that forefront, like, hey, this is a disaster, but we're going to continue to give God praise because he's going to do something amazing out of it. And just keeping that on the forefront of just praise in our lips.
Right. The night, Brother Aaron, the night that I got, well, actually, I'm the chaplain for the Sheriff's Department. I have to explain that so people understand, but I'm the chaplain for the Sheriff's Department here. So I work with our officers every day. I'm in the office. I ride with them. And I've been doing that for 6 years, and I created a really good friendship. Well, two of them called me. They were sitting under our canopy at the church, and they were texting me back and forth. And then I called the sergeant who was there, and while I was on the phone with him, I told him, I said, I'll give you a code to the key you can get in the buildings for safety. Well, I called him back to see if they'd gotten in, and it was so loud on the phone, and he said, it's on us, it's on us, and then I lost contact. Well, I live 4 miles west of the church, and I knew the storm was moving east. So I was afraid they were injured, so I told my wife, I'm going to jump in the car and run down there. And when I got there, on the way down, someone had called me and told me that the roof of the building was gone. And that hit hard, but I thought, we can rebuild that. And so when I got there, the deputies had gotten an emergency call, and they were gone. But I pulled up in the parking lot thinking the roof was going to be gone. I wasn't sure which building. We have a few buildings there. And so when I pulled in the parking lot, of course, it was just completely dark because all electricity was off. The rains were blowing hard. It was just a terrible night, and the wind was up. And I pulled in the parking lot, and I had my car beams on high. And when I pulled in and saw the building was gone, it was just a gut punch. I mean, I can't explain it. It was like the blood drained out of my body. We didn't expect that. Nobody expected that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Brother Aaron, one of the things that we have tried to do here, and I've tried to do leading these people, is that somebody said, you're really strong. And I said, no, what? I'm strong to the people. What I really want to do is throw up. Mm-hmm. But what I've tried to lead from, the older I get, the more sentimental I become. And normally I think I would just cry my eyes out. But it's like God has just given us a vision of the future. We're not looking back. We're not mourning. We're just going forward. We're just believing that God has something better for us. And I preached on Sunday morning, and I said, I want the world to know that we still trust God. We still love God. He's still the greatest thing ever happened to us. Our faith has not waned. We just believe that God is the best thing that's ever happened in our life, and he has a plan that we cannot see. We're going forward in power and might, and that's how we're looking at it.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I'm intrigued on some of these testimonies you were talking about, though. I don't mean to leave the subject topic, but you got me on the Holy Ghost now and the working of the Lord. So you've been talking about seeing testimonies of healing from cancer, and I know you all seen some incredible things, soul saved. And so give us a little testimony about what's going on at Christ Community there.
Well, you know, we have people saved, and that is me and my heart, that is the greatest thing that can happen to a person, so we want to see that more than anything. But it's, for some reason, God has chosen our church, it seems like, to bring healing to people who are very in dire sicknesses. It's not just cancer. We've had some other people heal from lung issues and things like that, kidney issues. But we have had, in the last few years, a lot of people healed from cancers. I'll give you a quick testimony. I don't know that our church had much to do with this, except we were praying. But at the first year, my mother was diagnosed with cancer. I'll give you a quick praise report if I have time.
Absolutely.
It's okay. Well, my mother was diagnosed with cancer, and she had breast cancer. Now, my mother is 86 years old. She's a young 86, but she's 86. And she went through a complete mastectomy, left side, and the doctor that did the surgery told us that he got it all. He got the lymph nodes. It was in a lymph node. He got the lymph nodes, and he got all the cancer. He referred us to an oncologist. So I've been driving back and forth. Mom lives close to you all, and in that area, and I've been driving back and forth to help take care of her. And we went to an oncologist, and when we got there, the oncologist said that when the doctor did the surgery, it spilled out into her body. That was the words that the oncologist used. I think you've heard the term when somebody has cancer surgery and the air hits it, it kind of spreads in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So they said it had spilled out into her body. Now, the doctor said that it was the fastest, most aggressive time. Then they referred us from an oncologist to a pulmonologist, which is to check her lungs, and they found out she had spots in her lungs. Now, they did tests, and they did scans and all this stuff, and 3 weeks went by. Now, you've got to keep this in mind. There was no treatment of any kind, no chemo, no radiation, no nothing. And in 3 weeks, we went back to the doctor, and they said, you have no cancer anywhere in your body.
Hallelujah.
And so that's just and our church was praying for her. Now, it may not have been our church, but we've had situations like that in our church. But that just seems to be what God is doing around us. And people are starting to hear that testimony, and they're starting to call us from everywhere for prayer requests. And I just believe God's going to use this time to glorify himself and his kingdom.
He's still moving. Absolutely. He's still able, isn't he?
Right. Absolutely. And we're seeing it. We're seeing the manifestation. This is not just something that we pray for somebody that says they have a headache, and then they say it goes away. We're actually seeing doctor's reports of the day healings.
Hallelujah. I love it. It gets me fired up. And I just love to see what the Lord's doing in the faith that's arising in the body of Christ, and the trust and the utter dependence upon him for the moving of the Holy Spirit to come and heal, restore, revive, deliver, set free, sanctify, save. He's still doing it. And I know that there's so many churches that are doing what Christ Community is doing there, and other churches across the United States and the state that's really burning for the Lord and pursuing the kingdom of God and seeing the Lord come and do amazing things. And I thank God for pastors like yourself, and that's had the influence. And how long have you been pastor now, Pastor Tim?
I've been pastoring overall about 35 years, maybe. I've been in this church over 25 years now.
Yeah.
So, hey, Pastor, let me tell you a few weeks ago in the sanctuary that was destroyed, there was a prophetic interpretation given. And God said to us that if you will praise me, I will give you signs, wonders, and miracles. And we have tried to be a people of praise. I preach to our church, giving God no praise is equivalent to giving Satan some praise, because that's why he fell from heaven. He wanted the praise of God. So I teach him, if you don't praise God, you're giving Satan praise inadvertently, but you're giving him praise. So we try to be purposely praising God all the time. And he has done incredible things in our church.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. And I know he's going to continue to do those great things, and I love to see the testimony of really just arising out of this this really tragic crisis situation, and to see the praise that's still on the lip. And it's not just you. You can see your whole church really rallying around and keeping that same mentality, and it's amazing things to see. I watched that one news video of the kids being interviewed. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome to see. And,
it is unique. Even our young people, we had a little girl in our church. She's probably 7 years old. And she said, Mommy, how much would it cost to rebuild? They came out. All of our people have been in and out of our property since this happened. And she saw the building down. And she said, Mommy, how much would it cost to build our building back? And her mother said, I don't know. And she said, well, I have $500 of birthday money. I'll give to that.
What?
I want to see our building back up. And that just broke our heart, to hear that out of the mouth of babes, the truth of it all. And so, but all of our young people, nobody's crying. It's like, I mean, don't get me wrong. We've had people to walk on the property and cry their eyes out. And my heart's been broken and shattered.
Sure.
It's kind of a paradox. We had a gut punch, but yet we're so excited about what God's going to do in the future. And so we've had, everybody is so optimistic. Sunday morning, we went back into our old sanctuary, which we had converted to a youth center, and I preached. We had a packed out house, and we're going to go back to two services there. But anyway, when I was preaching Sunday morning, people, this is the first time in my ministry I think this has happened in our local church. While I was preaching, they would stand and clap and drown me out, and I had to stop and wait for them. They were so excited about the word that was going forth. And I preached a message of hope, you know, that we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And they stood up and overwhelmed me and drowned me out while I was preaching. I had to wait on them at least three or four times before I could start preaching again. They're just that excited. People are that. The Spirit of God has gotten into our people and given us a message of life and hope and not death and despair. And we're so excited about what God's doing.
Yeah. And truly, like, I think sometimes we make the statements of, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good. And we're thinking it's just what's coming in the building. But sometimes the adversity is the very thing that gives birth to the anointing. Mm-hmm. And it awakens something in the people. And I really, absolutely. I mean, it is just and I know nobody signs up for, like, I say that a lot here, like, adversity is it's not a sign up sheet in the lobby, people's coming out. So when you walk out of the church, if you put an adversity sheet out there, nobody's signing that sheet. I'm in, give me the adversity. But when it happens, when it happens, there's something that's produced and the oil is crushed.
I don't want anybody to misunderstand. It's been very difficult. We worked 5 years converting a gym into a sanctuary. We worked hard, blood, sweat, and tears. We've absolutely had it beautiful. I'll send you some pictures later on, personal pictures, Pastor, and show you what we had done. And it was absolutely beautiful. It was big. It was large. We needed the room. And just we had worked so hard. We had all new camera system, all new equipment, PA equipment, state-of-the-art stuff. And we had worked so hard. Now, it was hard. I mean, I'm kind of like that guy that said, if I'm going to die, I want to die in the morning. I don't want to work all day and then die. It's kind of how we feel about our church. I wish this happened before we put all that hard work into it. But you know, so it's been hard on that respect, but it's just a building. Mm-hmm. Nobody was hurt. And we come out of it praising God, knowing that we're going to have a great future. So it's been hard in one respect, but we're moving forward with joy.
Yeah. So if somebody's listening out there and said, I want to help somehow, how can they help?
Well, right now we're kind of in limbo. We can't do anything until the insurance company has evaluated. We've had two adjusters on our property. We have one more, and we think it's going to be a couple of weeks before we can do anything. So manpower is not a problem right now. We're believing, I'm assuming that the insurance company is going to pay for the demolition, what's left of it, and hauling it all. So right now, I really don't know how anybody could help, you know. We're just kind of waiting to see what they do, what the insurance company does with us. And, yes, we were insured. It's going to take a while. And I told somebody jokingly, I have a lot of humor, and I jokingly said I'd rather have surgery than deal with the insurance company. Now, I don't mean that in any way. But that's how bad I dread dealing with this going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Lord will be with you all every step of the way. And if there is any time, any way we could ever help, just let us know. And we definitely will do what we can. I know there's a lot of our listeners that are eager to help in situations like that. And I know the servant's heart, Jesus was that perfect example.
Hey, Pastor, I do want to tell this. If anybody wants to call us or mail us a prayer request, we are willing to receive it and pray for them. Somehow, in the middle of all this, we know God is going to do some extraordinary things, and it may just be that he starts a healing crusade across the country. I don't know. But we believe God's going to do something great through all this. So if somebody has cancer and wants to be prayed for, we'll pray for them.
Amen.
Yeah. Well,
how can they get those prayer requests to you guys?
Absolutely.
Well, they can mail it to us, or they can call, and I'll give you them both numbers. The mailing address is P.O. Box 178, West Paducah, Kentucky, 42086. Or they can call the church office, which has no phone now, but that comes to my phone number. And if nobody's in the office, it comes to me, which is 270- 0397, or they can call me directly at 270-994-4494. And I took that prayer request this morning. We're going to take it to our church body and pray over it. So we'll Amen. Be glad to pray for anybody that needs anything.
Yeah. Well, you can add my sister to that prayer request. I don't know if you've seen on Facebook or not, but she was diagnosed with breast cancer a few weeks ago, so her surgery's coming up soon. But we're believing God.
I did see that, and it broke my heart, you know, Blair. And I've watched, and if I can take a personal moment,
absolutely.
I watched you grow up, and I am so proud of you and your church and what you're doing. I always knew you were a fine young man. You were well-mannered when you were young, and I knew God had good things in store for you, and I'm so proud for you, your church, your radio station, your family, and I'm praying for April today. We're just believing that God is going to touch her. I wish that when sometime, I don't know when, but you all could get to Paducah, we would love to pray with you, and maybe I can drive down there one day and just see her, you know. I love your family, always have.
Well, we love you tremendously, and I tell people all the time that, you know, I remember I was probably 19 or 20 and preaching a lot around the state, young man, and preaching way before I was supposed to be and ready to be, but somebody thought it'd be a good idea to go ahead and do it. And I remember being at your church, and in my immaturity, and I think what it is, honestly, and I tell a lot of young preachers this now, you have a lot of zeal without the wisdom and knowledge to back it, and it's a lot of excitement without substance. And and I had said some stuff in honestly not trying to be anything like heresitical or anything like that, but it was just zeal, and it was too much zeal without any enough word. And being the man of God and the pastor that you are, you corrected me about 2 or 3 weeks later. And boy, was I upset with you about that. Who does he think he is? But that probably, I'll be honest with you, that probably was more influential in my ministry and development of who I am, because it stuck with me. And I've always honored you for that, and I've always given you a tremendous amount of just respect and honor for being able to do that, because a lot of pastors don't. They just say, okay, I'm just going to forget them. But I think you loved me enough to correct me, and that's a true pastor.
I don't remember that, and I am very sorry I hurt your feelings, but I'm going to tell you, and I mean this, I saw something in you I don't see in most young people. I've been doing this so long, I have a pretty good gift at reading people and their spirit, and I knew there was something special about you, something very good, and I knew that God had his hand on you for a calling and a purpose. I don't remember what I said to you. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings.
No, don't be sorry. I needed it.
Well, I didn't mean to, and I trust you and believe in you so much. You have a standing invitation to preach in our pulpit anytime you want to, anytime. I trust you that much, and I don't let just everybody come, but I would you, because I know you're a good man, and I love you, and I appreciate you, and I'm so proud of the young pastor you've become.
Thank you.
So proud of you.
It's more of an honor than you know, so thank you so much for those words, Pastor Tim, and we are praying for you here. And anything we can do, please let us know.
Thank you, brother. Prayers mean more than anything. You know, when I was young, we used to have a singing group in a bus, and we had a band, and we traveled all the time. And I never forget what my dad said. They'd always give us an offering for our expenses. And my dad would always get up and say, "We appreciate your offering. It helps us get from one place to another. But the most important thing you can do for us is pray for us." And that's the way we feel about our church. We have people reaching out financially. We have people reaching out through prayers. And like I said, all across the United States, we've had responses. The most important thing anybody can do for us is pray for us. Mm. And so we appreciate that so much.
Amen.
Amen, Pastor Tim. Won't you pray for us before we head out for this morning?
I will be glad to. Father, we are so grateful today. I cannot tell you the joy and the love that I feel in my heart. God, some people see this as devastation. We see it as victory. We're not victims today. Mm. We preach it to our church. We're not victims. We're not begging for money. We're not begging for help. We know you provide, and we're not victims. We are victors. So we're just giving you nothing but glory. We're not going to give the devil one inch of praise. We're giving it all to you, God. So we thank you today for what you've done. This interview has been about a destruction that came to our church, but yet it's about the goodness of God and the glory of God. And I praise you for that. Our whole church is praising you today. On the other side of this, God, we pray for Pastor Aaron, the church there, the radio station, his assistant. I heard her voice a couple of times. I pray for a heavy anointing on her this morning. I pray, God, that you would bless them beyond their wildest imaginations. Not that we get glory, God, but I believe Scripture is real and true. Mm. I told the church last Sunday, it's either real or it's not. If it's not real, we'll close up and go home. But if it's real, we believe it. And we believe, God, that you're going to rise and bring beauty out of these ashes, and you're going to do great things. And so we believe, God, that we can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We believe that, God, you're going to bind the chains and break the chains of the alcohol and the drugs and all the sicknesses across our country. We believe you're real. We believe you're sovereign. We believe you're all-powerful. So today I'm praying not only for Pastor Aaron and his church, I'm praying for the radio station. Mm-hmm. God, it's a tool and a ministry. They have no idea the time that somebody has thought about suicide and they've heard a good word on that radio station and it saved their life. The encouragement that they bring, the edification that comes from those airways, God, we thank you for that. We pray for a heavy anointing. We pray, God, that you would supply all of their needs. We pray that you would grow that ministry. We pray that you would grow that church and that people that are lost would come running in and find you as Lord and Savior of their life. We just believe today, God, that you're going to do all this. I do believe that we're not in the last days anymore. We're in the last hours. And I believe we better be getting ready. And so we promote the kingdom of God every way we can. And God, I pray that you'll bless all these things that we ask for. And it's all for the kingdom. We'll give you honor and glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you
so
much. Love you, Pastor Tim. And I'll be talking to you soon, sir.
Okay. Sounds good.
God bless you. Bye-bye.